Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week, we've got Wayne Miller.
How you doing, Blake Buck?
I'm doing good. We've also got Justin Fick.
Gentlemen.
And this is your best damn podcast ever for Wednesday, May 8th, 2011. Did I get that right? I just said that. Oh God, did I get it right? Come on, eight. Come on, eight. Oh, fuck, it's June! God! This is your best damn podcast ever for Wednesday, June 8th, 2011. All right, what we got in the news? Wayne Miller, go.
All right, I got a slew of, not a slew, but I got a little bit of PlayStation news. The first thing I got, E3's coming up. We're going to do a little more talking about that later, but in preparation for E3, Sony has put together a website, but they didn't cover up the code too well. And somebody went and poked around in the HTML there and saw that their new product was labeled as PS Vita. Not Vista, but PS Vita. So that's the NGP. The speculation is that the name of the next generation portable, as to be revealed at E3, PS Vita.
God.
What do y'all think about that?
I don't know which is worse, the Vita or the NG. Those are both like awful, horrible names. I guess Vita's not so bad. That does, at least that sounds future.
It's got some Wii rings to it. I don't know. It's one of those things that I could conceive of getting used to that. I can't picture myself getting used to NGP. That sounds like something I'd read off of a stock report or something.
Yeah,
I think that the Vita is alienating one of the PlayStation Portable's key demographics, and that is, and we'll have to get Andre Meadows of Black Nerd Comedy fame on the show to talk about this in detail, but the hardcore hip-hop audience loves the PlayStation Portable, PSP.
Really?
They love it. I was on a flight back from Baltimore.
Anecdotal evidence? You're going to say, people do this.
Well, I've got two pieces of evidence for this. One is, I'm flying back from California to Baltimore, and when I get on the Baltimore leg of the flight, you know, all these like hip-hop folks are sitting up front in first class.
Oh, right? Yeah,
a couple of them,
hip-hop
all
folks.
Of them. Well, right. I don't want to assume that they're drug dealers. I'm gonna assume that they're very
rappers.
Very wealthy entrepreneurs. Okay. God, this is going downhill real fast. I swear to God, this is like something that come out of Blake Buck's mouth. Anyway, I'll leave that one as it was. And second, they had that ad campaign. It was sort of targeted at the sort of the black urban youth. You remember that? It had the kid.
I remember that. Yeah, there was the answer to Kevin Butler.
Exactly. Yeah, it had that guy. I mean, very, very targeted set of advertisements there. Is that guy that advertisement is targeted at going to buy a PS Vita? Really?
Maybe. I don't know. Why do you think? It depends on how the brand is presented. I mean, there's so much more to brand than just, you know, the name written on paper.
I mean, PS Vita sounds like a mineral water.
It really does.
You know, I think the last good named console, I mean, come on, guys, the X Space Box. Well, we've got a box. How do we make it more extreme? Johnson, go. Put an X in front. You're hired. Marketing director.
You can keep your job.
Extreme Box.
Yeah, by that logic, Sony should, like, what's better than Extreme? I don't know. Jesus, it's the J-Box. Come out with that one.
The JSP.
So, I don't know. It could be Vita. This kind of rings of, what's it, like Project Dolphin, though. This could just be a code name.
Yeah, but we already got a code name, the NGP.
Is that
Why
the code
Why would they
name?
Have two code names?
I don't know. God, I hope.
Also, why would you hide the code name?
I don't know. Let's rename this and name it something good. All right, best damn podcast ever is going to name PlayStation the new Sony handheld. Well, Dick seems like a good choice just right off the bat.
That's exactly the first thing that I came to, and I thought, wait a minute.
Girl, come check out my new dick. Oh, it's got all these features.
The PSP exploding suppository. That's how extreme it is.
The Sony projectile shitter. Done.
Yes.
Well,
the PS chub.
that's speaking of videos, that'd be a good. We should make a video that's like Sony unveiling the PS Chub. Everything's completely serious on stage. All the investors there. We're rolling out the PS Chub. We went with it because it resembles a dick. And demographic research has shown that everyone likes dicks, especially the ladies.
And then Kaz Hirai just drops his pants.
Only 599. You still hadn't heard the remix I made last week of that.
Oh, wait, shit.
I should pull. No, I'll save it. I'll hide that power. I made a Kaz Hirai, just the bad Sony news music that features cut up clips of Kaz Hirai's $599 speech.
Now, Justin Fick, you hadn't heard last week's podcast because I'm sorry, William Miller was late getting the audio in the Dropbox before he went off to vacation.
Dumb.
It was pretty funny though, Blake Buck.
we're getting on it. Anyway, let's see. Do you want to go ahead and do the rest of your Sony news since you have?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and finish this up. So the last part of my Sony spiel here is that the PSN supposedly will be fully restored by the time you guys are hearing this show. And this is like saying Blake Buck's going to make a video by the time you hear this show. It's not going to happen, I don't think. I mean, they were...
I swear to God. You know, I just don't have... Look, I don't have... There's an idea yet. I don't have... Because, look, there's video reviews on the internet. I got to have something better. I was thinking about... Actually, let me pitch this idea to you guys real quick. Let's just take an aside. I was thinking, man, you know what would be better than me doing a video review of L.A. Noire? I could act out... A case of L.A. Noire, but it's me trying to solve the mystery of how I broke that window. I wake up, you know, it's in black and white. My head was hammering and I didn't know where I was. That meant it was Tuesday.
I say do it.
We'll see. I got something cooking.
BDP Noir.
Yeah, just dig up that Grim Fandango soundtrack and slap it on there. You'll be good to go.
Dude, oh, yeah, I had another idea for something we could do for a video, too, because I just got my ROM box back online. It's been busted for about 2 years. Just got it. You know, there's, and I had to download, no shit, 27 Windows updates. Anyway, though, I was thinking, man, you know what? We should highlight a classic game that is awesome, because I remember I used to read this. This was way back in the day when, before GameSpot was GameSpot. It was like, oh, God, what was it called? This was like late 90s gaming, but it was like classic video. And once a week they would have these classic video game, like you should play this ROM. And it would tell you some old ass arcade game. But man, Grim Fandango, that's another one where it's like, got to dust that one off, plug it in, play that tape. Do either of you guys play that game? No.
Of course I did. I played all them old LucasArts games. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It's weird that one hadn't been remade since it's, to me, such a classic.
Yeah, man, slap that shit on the iPad.
I'm surprised that one hasn't been proliferated more than it has.
I mean, maybe it didn't sell when it came out, but certainly the critical staying power of that game has lasted.
Dude, you know what I want on my iPad is Full Throttle.
Oh,
that's the
man.
Game I want.
Oh, shit! Dude, what a great game. Let's just talk about old games we like for the rest of the show.
Yeah, the thing I like about Full Throttle is that, like, okay, Maniac Mansion was all about matching, you know, an object to a verb, right? You take the, you know, the tape and you put it in the console, whatever. It's like this matrix.
Those are two nouns, but okay.
I mean, so you have tape and stick in to whatever. It's like subject,
dating,
verb,
got it.
Target.
P.S. Chubb, stick in.
Yeah. But so it had this really complicated matrix of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And then in that game, in Full Throttle, it was just punch and kick and talk.
Oh,
and that
was
it, man.
Yeah, I like the wheel you would pull up would just be like, there was a fist on it, and that either meant grab or fight, depending on the context. Then there was like eyes, there was like a skull, so it had eyes and then mouth. And mouth could be either talk or lick, whichever one was more appropriate. And then they had boot for kick. It's everything you need to do in life.
My favorite part of that game, though, you lose your bike at one point. If anybody hadn't played this game, I don't want to spoil it for you, but you're unable to use your bike for a while, and you're in this like little desert town or whatever, and there's this like sort of over map view where you're real little, you can see the whole town. And if you click like on the road leading out of the town, he says, "I don't walk." And that's it. That's how they keep you there. Like, genius.
Yeah, he could.
He doesn't walk.
You're right. Man. Whatever. I guess the adventure game genre is coming back. Certainly like L.A. Noire, but what happened to really... I mean, what was the last good, funny game you played? I mean, okay, maybe you don't know Jack, but besides that, man, yeah, those...
I thought Deathspank was pretty funny.
Yeah, Deathspank was pretty funny. Sam and Max games.
Yeah, those were good.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, oh, I wanted to mention one thing. You know how I was reading on the internet the other day, this team is taking Maniac Mansion, which is like, I don't know if you ever played the original Maniac Mansion, but it was on NES and like Commodore 64 and the Amiga or something. And it's It's very crude looking, but there's this team on the internet that's making a remake of it called Night of the Meteor instead of Maniac Mansion so they don't get sued. But it's using like the premise of Maniac Mansion 1, but doing it in the graphical style of their later games, like Full Throttle or Day of the Tentacle or Sam and Max. And it looks like, you can check it out at Night of the Meteor, separated by dashes, I can't say that, .de. It's looking cool, though. I mean, it looks like a legit, it's probably never going to get released. How many times are they like, oh, this cool ROM, people are doing this mod on the internet, and it never happens, but... If it ever did.
9 times out of 10, it gets stomped out of existence by the IP holder.
Or more likely, just, you know. It's like Blake Buck in videos, you know? It's the same thing. Yeah, we're totally going to make this. But it's cool because it's got the, you know, the more cartoony style of the later Maniac Mansion games with the same gameplay of the original. Hmm. Anyway, what the hell were we talking about?
Something not
Sony.
As cool.
Sony. Oh, right. PSN. How do we get off on that? Okay, PSN fully restored by the end of the week. Like Blake Buck making videos, probably not going to happen. What do you guys think about that go?
I hope so, and it's about damn time.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they're forever vulnerable now. I feel like if another one of these things happen, I'll be like, well, it's just going to keep happening until the end of time. We're never going to get it back, but hopefully it'll be back.
Well, also at this point, like... I don't know. Like, I'm of the opinion that anything can be hacked. Mm. Okay, with enough time and enough determination, you know, hackers will always get around the defenses that are put up to stop them eventually. So at this point, I was like, yeah, okay, good job. You hacked Sony.
But now it's an even bigger target. You know, it's like-
I guess, like, yeah, it probably is. Like, imagine if you're a hacker and okay, let's get Sony again.
Yeah.
But at this point, as a player, like even the first time, I was like, okay, well, you've proved your point. You've also now deprived me of PSN. So you're a fucking asshole.
Why can't hackers should do something cool? Like it replaces everybody's background with dicks. Wouldn't that like you get your point across, but nobody's really hurt, and they clean it up after a week. It goes away or something. You see what I'm saying?
Or like, if you really wanted to fuck Sony over with and really get you know, support of the players, what you do is you hack everyone's accounts to give them like thousands of dollars in their wallet.
Ooh, that's true. But then they would probably reverse all that. They would know. They would be like, after
somebody
this
do
point.
That. You know what would happen though? If they did that, they say you got like $100 worth of free shit on PSN because the hackers, right? And Sony reverses that. What kind of like hatred does that engender?
Exactly.
Like, if you wanted to strike at the heart of PSN, like that is what you do, because you know that they revoke it. You know that they do that.
Yeah, they would. They have to.
So I mean, you know, at this point, hacking PSN so that it gets taken down, you're just like, well, now you're depriving me, the player, of something that I like. So you're a fucking asshole.
Well, you're saying they weren't an asshole the first time. I think it was always an asshole.
No, they were. But there's also like, you know, there's also a lot of hate directed at Sony too. Like, oh well, Sony's not protecting our shit. You know, fuck Sony. But you know, like I think Sony took a lot of the heat for something. You know, for something that. Next time it happens, it's going to go all the hackers. It's going to be like, look, leave them alone. We know they're incompetent. You know, just let us play our fucking games now, please.
I think you're right. Anyway, so any more on this Sony nonsense?
Well, we'll see what happens, but I'm not going to... I don't know if I'm...
Can you imagine... Oh, my God. Think about if they had their press conference and, like, somebody took it down the morning of their press conference next week. Oh, I want, you know what? It'd be worth it. If it happened again, it would be worth it. Just so Sony, I want to see Kazrai on that stage weeping.
$500 US.
Dude, look,
his PS chub getting limper by the minute.
And you guys forget, I don't know what's going to come out of this, but Blake Buck is going to be very, very closely watching all of these because if anybody says even anything remotely on the level of $599 US, oh, it's remix time, baby. So more E3 rumors bubbling up. Mass Effect 3 could be adopting Kinect control. Purported box art image of EA's online storefront shows new Commander Shepard game to use Microsoft's gesture-based technology. Or, excuse me, gesture recognition technology. Now, what do you guys think about this? I mean, there's no specifics here. This may not be real or not, but do you think a game like Mass Effect 3 could benefit from gestures and the Kinect?
Nope, gimmick.
I think you're right. I don't know. There's got to be... No.
No one wants to take devil's advocate on this one.
Yeah, I keep holding out for the Kinect to not be shit, and I'm just, over and over, I'm disappointed. Like, oh, what's that game? Project Eden or Child of Eden or something?
That spiritual. One looks kind of fun.
I keep waiting on that. I think that's supposed to come out like a month or two. Maybe that one will finally be a use of the Kinect that's not total garbage.
Yeah, but I mean, that one is also a game that is designed around the Kinect. Right. And not like, hey, let's take this really popular game and shoehorn this new control scheme onto it. You know, cough, cough, Twilight Princess and Wii controls.
Right. Well, I've always been a fan of this face tracking. We've never really gotten, no one has tried at all. I mean, I don't know. I think it would be cool to like be able to, you know, minutely adjust cameras and stuff with your face. But so far, we've seen nobody really approach that idea yet.
Yeah, that could be cool. Or you know, putting my face on Commander Shepard so I can then spin around and then put my taint on Commander Shepard.
Yeah, see, if that's what they're doing here, if they're sort of subtly changing the game a little bit to accommodate this thing, like putting your taint on Commander Shepard's face, then I think it's okay. And I think, honestly, it's a little late in the development of this game to change the game, like, really dramatically. I don't know. I think it could be cool. Like, you know, put your skateboard up to the Kinect,
yeah, whatever,
like, on the
happened
commercial.
To that? I remember that commercial, and then we never... No game has done that yet, where it's, like, scanning something.
You know why? Because skateboard games are dead.
Now, I remember... this might sound like new technology putting your face in a game, but Tony Hawk Pro Skater... I think it went as far back as 2. No, I guess not 2, but
2
3.
Didn't do it.
3, you could like send them an email with your face, and then they would like send you a zip file or something in the game. This was like, I think that's when they invented the internet. Okay, maybe it's not that old, but this was like cutting edge stuff. And what's the other one? Rainbow Six Vegas 2. You could take a picture of your face with the Kinect. The Xbox Live Vision camera. Longest name for shitty webcam ever.
Longest name for box.
But, it had... I mean, some of them looked good. We tried it with 2 or 3 of my friends. Some of them looked good. But Blake Buck's face, it was just cube. Which is accurately so. The other thing is that they never made any faces, so you would shoot cube Blake in the face, but he's still smiling and being happy. Right? The same, like, dumbstruck look on his face when he's dead. Anyway,
also accurate, true to life.
There's also been rumors flying around about Gears of War. It says Gears of War Exile. Is that the name of the third Gears of War? I guess.
I've never heard that before.
It says it will unveil Kinect-enabled Gears of War Exile at the E3 Expo. So
wait, is this confirmed?
Rumors are swirling that Microsoft will unveil a Kinect-enabled Gears of War. And remember, there was that rumor a few weeks ago. That we saw.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember the rumor a couple weeks ago, and then somebody from Epic was like, "Oh no, 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 we ain't doing that. There's no way Gears of War 3 is going to have Kinect."
Just look at it from a money perspective, right? The Kinect has drove their sales for the last holiday season. They want to keep the sales going if they can pull in the hardcore audience. So you slap this marginally onto a couple of your AAA games, and now you're selling these $150 pieces of shit. I mean, I love the Kinect.
Oh, I totally get the motivation here. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Like, get this thing selling again by tacking it onto your big hits. Yeah, it makes total sense to me.
I don't know. I think this year's E3 is going to be perhaps one of the most important, and it certainly last most important in the last 5 years of E3s.
You know, I agree with you because I think PlayStation and Sony and Microsoft are going to be showing ways that they're going to extend the longevity of their current generation of consoles, and Nintendo is going to have an opportunity to show their new thing, and that's what I'm really excited to see. And I'm excited, but I'm also a little scared about it. Who knows what that's going to be?
And Sony's got to way short of the mark. It's like Sony's either going to make up their horribly lost faith in their customer base, or they're just going to die.
You know what I want from Sony really bad? I want Kaz Hirai to walk on that stage, and I want him to make a really, really self-deprecating joke.
I want him to walk on the stage and just apologize.
No. See, like, apologies, that's not enough. Because an apologies for, like, Japanese businessman Kaz Hirai, that's really comfortable for him to do. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something you just got to do. It's part of the trade, right? Apologize. I want him to, like, you know, get some writer from 30 Rock to write him a joke to tell me that's really funny that makes them look like assholes. That's what I want.
That's true. Anything they can do to get us back, because we have left.
Actually,
you, Sony.
Just send Tracy Morgan on the show.
No, to Tracy do their press Morgan does the entire press conference.
Yeah, the whole thing, all of it.
Dude, I'm telling you, I have like so many ideas for fake press conferences. Oh my god, it's not even funny. Like,
dude, during the whole time he does the press conference, too, Kaz Hirai dances behind him dressed as a giant enemy crab.
Look, next week, I'm telling you, all these ideas are going to come out of me next week. I'm going to try and do whatever I can. So, I'm telling you, I'm excited. All right, Justin, what you got for us?
No, you're not going to do that.
You know what? When we have the number one video on YouTube and I have women flying to my house to blow me on jets, which is what you get when you're the number one on YouTube, you'll be wishing you were me.
Wait, are you on the jet as you're being blown, or is the women are just like flying by on jets?
Yeah, how does
and blowing
this jet blowjob system
you
work?
Know, to be honest with you, the more you think about it, the less good it is. Kind of like God. So, moving along, Justific, what have you got for us?
All right, so I got some games, some news about games. So,
oh really?
Yes.
On this show?
Yes.
A video game podcast?
Yes. News about games. So, Sega is publishing a long-awaited game sequel. This is Aliens: Colonial Marines is dropping in spring of 2012. Now, I don't really recall playing any Aliens games that I liked, but people are excited about this, apparently.
Who? Who?
I don't know.
Tell me who. List their name. This is shit, like, what
I don't know.
This list, but might as well be.
Blake Buck is personally offended that someone is excited about not just this game, but any game, really, would fall on his shit list. But I agree with this in that the Aliens franchise history, especially when it crosses over into Aliens versus Predator territory, has been long.
Yeah, Aliens versus Predator is just like, man, we've got two IPs that aren't very good. We'll fucking stick them together. Done.
Well, the thing is, like, everything about Aliens feels like it should be a fucking phenomenal game. I mean, it went on to inspire StarCraft, you know. So
The last Aliens versus Predator game supposedly wasn't that bad, but it was multiplayer only, by and large. And I played the demo of it, and I couldn't I'm running on the walls. I'm getting shot from because I can't see. I'm upside down. I'm getting shot from places I didn't know exist. Yeah.
I played it with you, Blake. Remember that?
That was dumb. It was dumb.
It was even worse than split screen because you really couldn't see where you were going or getting shot at. Yeah, it was a little weird.
I don't know.
It was innovative though. Like it tried it.
Don't
you know?
Start your game's design with multiplayer. That's no game has ever done well. Very few games.
That's not true. Well, every single RTS is designed that way.
Okay, so, I was talking more in a shooter perspective, an action game or a shooter. Right?
Breaks.
What was the last action game slash shooter that started as a multiplayer game and was really good just based on those merits?
All of the Unreal Tournament games?
Okay, well, I guess I'm talking about recently.
All of the, like Epic's, you know, MO is to design multiplayer, like, that's how they test the game. They design a multiplayer game and then put a single player campaign on it.
I suppose.
And Halo is the same way. Like, although, Bungie does designs their games the same way.
I would say that these games need to have a single player, though. More so right. than an RTS needs to have single okay. player. Right. More so than a fighting game needs to have
single player. Let me refine
player.
That then by saying, what was the last multiplayer-only shooter that was a big success? I guess maybe Team Fortress, you could say. That's one.
I don't know. Brink is enjoying mixed success,
is
I guess.
Is it?
I've heard nothing but shit.
I've heard
Brink.
Nothing but shit about Brink. I don't think
See,
you're
I've,
on the
I've
show.
I've heard a lot.
No, you weren't here when we shit on Brink for like an hour.
No, I heard the show. I think Brink, like, if it didn't crash all the time and if the difficulty curve is a little lower, it would be fine. It'd be a really good game.
Even then, it's a hard idea to sell to people, right? It's a con. You know, Call of Duty is simple. Shoot anybody who's got a red arrow above them. You know, there's not a whole lot to it. Brink is all designed around these, like, objectives. And, like, the more complicated the missions and the, you know, the concepts you're trying to get across to gamers, it seems like the more shit new players you have that ruin the experience for the older, more seasoned gamers.
No, I think a multiplayer only first person shooter is possible. I think it needs to be designed perfectly. I think it needs to have absolute perfect balance. I mean, I haven't played one that I really, really enjoyed since Quake 3.
Yeah.
But I think like
it, but even Quake
on
had
the
a
internet
on it. You know, a single player ladder is.
Yeah.
People
yeah,
on the internet
but,
are
yeah,
such
it,
assholes.
It was just multiplayer with bots. Like, no one gave a shit about this.
It had a cutscene at the end. I felt good when I beat it. What were you saying,
so,
William?
I was just saying that people on the internet are assholes. No good game, no game designed ever is going to work around that problem.
Yeah. That's
and the discrepancy in skill, like, matchmaking is extremely hard as well. You know, how do you... Plus, like... I think there's also an anxiety about playing online that a lot of gamers have, even like core gamers on the Xbox, core gamers on whatever. Like they have an anxiety about playing online just for that reason. Like, I'm not going to be good enough to hack it with these people that
well, sure.
call me,
and that's
you know,
why,
a fag.
That's why I, you know, like, for instance, except for maybe Fick, none of us like fighting games because we blow at them when you play online.
Well, I know, but like you see this all the time in the social space. Like, social games have shied away from combat because the majority of the people on the platform don't like the confrontational aspect. I mean, they'll fight against the computer, but another human being, it's like there's a psychological switch there that happens that alienates a lot of your players.
Well, also, you know, just the concept of loss. Of playing a game and losing to someone else, or playing a game and not getting that positive output, is right. something that people just don't like.
Right.
What social games have perfected is creating a game that is impossible to lose, where you get nothing but this yeah. little positive feedback every yeah,
eight hours
to break as long
this,
as you check in.
To break it down to the simplest terms, nobody plays games to lose, right? We play games because we want to win them. I mean, that's... Yeah. Except when I play Donkey Kong on my ROM box, and I just, dude, I'm getting raped. I used to be good. I'm going to submit a score to Twin Galaxies here pretty soon. I'll be like number 120 out of 140 on the MAME Donkey Kong list. Very esteemed.
I mean, everyone wants to win when they play, but I think there are competitive people who. When they lose, they look at that and they say, well, okay, I got to do this and this and this to get better. Here's how I will kick this game's ass next time. And then there are people who are like, well, fuck, I lost. I just wasted my time. I'm going to do something different where I yeah. always win.
And that's we've talked about this before, how like that's why I think Call of Duty does such a good job. And even Quake to an extent, but especially Call of Duty, you know, Modern Warfare. Even if you really, really blow at that game, just playing it, you're going to run up behind somebody and, you know, get them, you know, just out of surprise. You'll get a few kills. And even that's rewarding, even if you're not number one in the rankings, just getting something. Whereas a game like Halo, to me, Halo is a very, very difficult game. Like, if you're not at a minimum skill level, you could play Halo and get less than two kills a whole match, because that game is, everybody's very well defended. It's hard to sneak up on people. You got the shields and whatnot. And I think that just giving them the minimum reward from playing is really important when designing online games, at least in the shooter realm.
Yeah, I agree. Like if you take Quake 3, like there's no motion sensor. There's, you know, you start off with a perfectly usable weapon. You know, the machine gun. I don't know how I remember this, but every bullet does 8 damage. So you can pick someone off from across the map with that pretty quickly. And
right.
You know, like anyone that's been hurt, you can polish them off really quickly. So, you know, you're pretty much guaranteed a few kills just by going apeshit.
Right. I think, look, listen here, first-person video game multiplayer developers, make it easy to win. That's all. That's all you got to do. Or win enough to feel good. Anyway, what the hell, how do we get on this? What are we talking about?
We were talking about aliens colon marines.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that would be an awesome fucking game.
Don't expand on that. You know what? Let's just leave it there, Justin.
that's the game we can't projectile shit on, because it's going to be projectile shitting back at us.
All right, I got another news story for you guys. This is about L.A. Noire, and I just want to let you guys know I've been playing more of L.A. Noire. Honeymoon's over, L.A. Noire. Game's getting on my nerves now. I mean, okay, I'm at this part. I'm on the homicide desk, if anybody's playing it. But, man, you just play it, and it's like, hey, somebody's dead. Go find him. And you go to the house, and you're like, oh, it's certainly not me, Mr. Incredibly Suspicious-looking guy. It must be this dude. The game kind of falls into a rut after a while of, like, repeating sort of its format. And I guess, I don't know. Supposedly it gets better once I get done with the homicide desk. So we'll see. I might have an update for you guys next week. But back to the news. L.A. Noire DLC spree begins. Rockstar is offering 2 new cases, free and premium in-game items starting today. 2 final crimes planned for June and July. Final? Final crimes? Seems like with a game with a downloadable content format, that's friendly to a downloadable content format like this, why would you ever make an end? Why don't you just keep making DLC for months and months? I mean, why not, right? It's super easy. The game is basically broken up into downloadable content already.
Yeah, no, or is the final? Because I mean, I haven't played 3 yet. I actually just got a copy today. I haven't busted it out yet. But could final mean that it's sort of concluding the main story?
Maybe that's
like
what
they actually made the end of the game a downloadable content.
Well, that's what gets me about this story. So they've this first DLC. It's got a whole bunch. That's another thing that makes me. You know, when you come out with DLC, look at some of the most successful DLCs of all time. Grand Theft Auto, right? You pay. It was expensive, sure, but you got all this shit in one bundle. You know, breaking it up into all these little tiny things just annoys people. They've got The Naked City and A Slip of the Tongue are 2 new cases that are $4 each. They've also got something you can buy for $1, some sort of gun and sharpshooter thing. Excuse me, sharpshooter detective suit and gun. They've got the Chicago Piano Machine Gun and the Lightning sets, a bunch of different, you know, clothes and I guess guns or something. And they're all ranging from $1 to $4. Or you can get them all by buying, what's it called? The Rockstar Pass, which gets you all of it for $10. But, of course, that's only for a limited time. It'll be going up to $12 soon. I don't know what I thought. What do you think? I mean, because a lot of this, for instance, maybe not all, but at least 2 or 3 of these pieces of downloadable content was, what's it called? The same like a Mortal Kombat. They were exclusives to retailers that they're now selling.
Okay.
And it seems like, I guess this is what you do now. I guess this is where the video game industry is gone. But I don't like it.
I think it's going to be moving more and more to that. I mean, consider the Call of Duty Elite.
You know? I hadn't read into that. What is describe that to me, Justin Fick.
That is that's going to be a game where you pay the $60 for it, and there's also a subscription fee.
Why would I do that? That seems really dumb.
I guess that's how they're going to combat the used games. Like they want to have their Call of Duty Elite be a service.
But you know, a game becomes, okay, you got to be the game to have a lot of people playing it, right? And that's sort of been Call of Duty's big thing, is that it was the game that everybody's playing. If you put it behind a paywall, you're not going to be the game anymore. You see what I'm saying?
I think they're kind of banking on the fact that they will still be the game.
Yeah, you forget people don't like subscriptions. They really don't like it.
Oh yeah, no, I hate subscriptions.
No, I'm not. I would be saying this to EA. I mean, I think they think their brand is stronger than it. They think their brand is strong enough to justify a subscription. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just that. I don't know. I think all AAA games are sort of facing this. I don't know. Just like this. Not epidemic, but a huge industry-wide problem of, okay, they're starting to see, okay, well, the social games are starting to pop up and become a threat to them. Mm-hmm. You know, like, these are games that people are playing for free, and they go buy this, you know, DLC, you know, buy magic beans for real money. And I think AAA games are starting to look at that and say, we want to do that too. Like, they're starting to realize that there's a lot of money in these. Like, I've, you know, every day on Twitter I read about like three or four more companies that have been bought by some social gaming monolith. And, you know, I think they're starting to look at that, and their grow or die instinct is starting to kick in. They're like, well, we got to get a piece of that. You know, like maybe they're starting to feel like the dinosaurs now. I don't know. But, you know, like things really are starting to move away from, you know, the initial purchase being the big part of the game to this DLC, these subscriptions, these, you know, multiplayer codes, special editions, you know, just ways of getting more out of you on top of that $60 initial purchase.
I don't. It seems like you'd hit a wall eventually. Then again, I don't know. I mean, you can always cater. I mean, look at what's happened with collector's edition in the past 5 years. I mean, I remember 2004, you got Halo, where you got Halo Collector's Edition, and it was $10 more, and that was like a big deal. Now games, big games, when they come out, have three, maybe even four editions, some of them ranging up as high as like $150, $180. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know, are gamers getting richer? I guess that's what we're getting at. I guess
well,
they are.
It's more about catering to what the social game industry calls their whales. So they actually have a term for the people who, you know, say, like, for instance, here's a game and you can, you know, and it's really good and you can pay me whatever you want to pay me for it, you know, or for instance, the people who go and buy a bunch of shit, you know, like the epic mount in World of Warcraft, or the people who will buy $100, $200 worth of magic beans in their favorite Farmville ripoff. Like, these are the whales, as the industry calls them, and they're the people that these types of things are marketed to. Like, the, you know, everyone, you know, for instance, all the people who will buy Halo for $60, okay, take that group, maybe 10% of them will buy the special edition for an extra $10, an extra, you know, an
right,
extra
yeah.
5%.
And you know what blows my mind?
Them.
Somebody has done this math equation. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, pretty much.
You guys ever read Fight Club or seen the movie where it's like that you break down a recall into the math? You know, the recall of a dangerous vehicle. It's the same thing in the gaming industry. They take this and they break it down to its absolute, like, hardest science. And I'm sure that that's how they maximize the most profits, because that's what you do.
Yeah, but and then, you know, like, the concept of it is getting people to pay more money with where these people are the people who want to pay more money, the people who want to give that to you. So maybe I'm really psycho for Gears of War. Maybe I want to pay you guys $200 for, you know, the life-size sex doll of Marcus Fenix special edition. You know, like,
oh, please. I need it.
So, like, you know, it's you're reaching out and getting more money from the people who are your biggest fans, whereas games that just you know, so the people, for instance, the paying $60 for a game up front, you know, you're sort of getting everyone to pay, and then what if people don't like it?
So the people who need your game the most, that's who you charge the most money. What does that sound like? Oh yes, drug dealing.
No, yeah, exactly.
Okay, got it. We should apply this to all industries. People who talk on the cell phone pay more money than people who talk something. I guess that's already true though.
Yeah, I mean, charge for minutes.
Oh, you motherfucker! Everybody's getting me. I swear to God, everybody's smarter than I am. You know, another thing I wanted to talk about, just to kind of that's sort of connected to this. I noticed that Halo 3 or no, what is it? Halo Reach has a demo on Xbox Live, and I thought, man, you really don't see demos for AAA games like this. And it looks like it's that whole flying level. I think it's like level 4 or something. But my question is this going to be the model of the future where we give you a little for free and we're going to charge you incrementally or subscriptionally for every little new piece that you get?
God damn it. Hang on, y'all. I think fire alarm's going off. Y'all keep going.
Either that or like 10 canaries just busted into your apartment and are just having an orgy in the background.
Well, just
fact, I guess the answer the demo question, it depends on the game. So really, if you put a demo up for free and you're selling the game for $60, what you're now selling for $60 is the difference between the demo and the game.
Well, but maybe, you see what I'm saying? Like maybe, what if Halo, imagine Halo, Halo reaches 10 levels, I think. What if you just charged, I don't know, what 60 divided by 10? What is that, 6? You charge $6 a level. I mean, does that work? Would people do that?
I don't know, it's an interesting thought. I mean, I think people would...
Because we could, I mean, that could happen right now. Somebody could put a game out that does that right now. I would love somebody to do it and see if it works.
I think you would get the, you know, you of course you would get the people who just buy all of them right off the bat. I think the interesting group would be the people who just want to try the game out. Is that worth $6 to try out?
Well, World of Warcraft already kind of does this in that you buy, they have big sort of packages of new stuff you buy. But you can, I mean, I think there's like free trials and stuff all over the place for World of Warcraft too. So I think that, yeah, I think you should look at them because they've clearly figured out the system for just getting every dollar.
The other thing too is now this forces game companies to make every one of their levels equally awesome. You know, because if you sort of do like the track by track model that iTunes has, where I can buy the album for $10 or or you know piecewise tracks by you know a dollar a piece, you could make the case that you know the savviest of gamers will buy the first and the last level of every game.
Mm. Mm.
That's what I would do. I mean, think about it. I'm gonna spend 20 hours on this game, and really all I need is the beginning and the end of it. Like, I know the beginning or the whole middle of it is filler.
Well, I don't agree with that. I mean, come on. I mean, part of playing a game, I mean, there's dips and valleys. That's like saying, oh, I can watch the first 10 minutes of a movie and then watch the last 10 minutes and I'm good, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why people make the entire movie entertaining.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think a lot of games can't, you know, I think the perfect size for a game is much less than what it actually is. I think there's a lot of filler that goes into games.
I can get behind that.
And I can easily see, like, with this kind of model, you know, people going on forums and saying, okay, well, Gears 3 is out. Here are the levels you need to buy.
Yeah.
1, 5, 10.
I can get behind that idea, especially because of L.A. Noire, where I'm at right now, where it's like the same thing over and over. And it's like, clearly, there's some good missions coming, but... it's the same thing. They're kind of stretching it out in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't that really like destroy the narrative in your game? I mean,
I think it forces developers to make like the bar across the board has to be higher, which is a good thing.
Because I mean, look at Portal 1. You know, I can't conceive of wanting to skip any part of that game because everything in that game was significant and everything belonged there. Portal 2, you know, I might skip a couple things.
Well, you know? It's a sequel, you know, I mean, that plays into it as well.
But I mean, they kind of had to make Portal a longer game. because they wanted to charge $60. I mean, it's $40 now, but even
so, you think that Portal 2 has filler, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, Portal 2 isn't even the best example. I mean, you know, any AAA game, like trying to think of a good example of something that I played recently. I would say Bulletstorm was pretty good. Just because every level was its own spectacle.
Right. Every level's got to be Hollywood. That's what we've games have boiled down to now. Just look at, you know, Call of Duty or Bulletstorm. Every level's got to be over the top.
But, I mean, you know, and I wish I could think of some examples, because I guess all the games that I play like this are completely not memorable, but any game where you're just slogging through the middle of it, you know, it's like you're just going through the same fucking mechanics over and over and over again, and you're shimmying across the same fucking walls, and, here's the vine wall you have to crawl up now, okay, I'll do that, press X to jump, and it's just like, you know, and we've got, actually, yeah, I would say, like, the middle of the last third of Bulletstorm can be completely skipped.
Well, we've gotten so jaded now, because thinking back to me playing Donkey Kong, and Donkey Kong, you say play basically the same fucking level. There's four levels in that game. You play them over and over and over, and we fucking loved it back in the day. But now I think you're right. We just, as gamers, we have more discerning tastes. We can tell when there's filler, and we don't like it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that's why this model, I don't know, like, I would love to see this model be adopted and for all levels of a game to be equally awesome. But I know that that will never happen, and so the model will never happen. Just because, you know, I mean, it's common knowledge that in your game you make the best levels your first one, your last one. And, you know, if you need to have certain gameplay hours, you pad it out.
I've never heard that, but is that like a thing? I mean, I've never
Pretty much, yeah.
I don't even think that's the thing. I think it's like make the first hour the best.
Yes. You know what's
and
funny?
And then the quality drops like exponentially.
Well, you know
there.
What's funny is that just because I'd never heard that. I mean, I guess it makes sense now I think about it, but that's the exact same way you design a stand-up set, right? You list out all your jokes, and then you put your funniest joke at the end, your second funniest joke at the beginning, your third funniest joke right before your end joke, and you build it like an inverted pyramid. So you do have a lull in the middle. It's the exact same thing, but if you start strong and end strong, then that's what people remember.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I read, it's called an interest curve, and how interested your audience is in your material. Like, the very beginning has to be amazing, because you want to get them hooked, you want to get them to stay through the rest of it. And then, you know, after that, there's a series of ups and downs that has to steadily increase over time, or they'll lose interest. But, you know, you sort of have to space things out to keep them interested, and then it has to end on a very high note.
Or in my case yesterday, there's a pretty high note near the end. I just cut the rest. I'm done. Thanks. I'm Blake Buck. Thanks, y'all. I'm out. Yeah. If only games could do that. I can cheat whenever I want. Anyway, how the hell did we get on, like, what the fuck
I don't know. This is our tangent episode.
Oh, L.A. Noir, yeah. Things that suck in the middle. L.A. Noir, DLC. Jess Vick, you got any more news for us? Have we done all the news?
I got one more game announcement news.
All right.
So there is a Konami Gradius-style side-scrolling shoot-em-up coming out very soon. It's called Odemedius Excellent. Comes out July 19th. Just from this description of it, it's, you know, I'm sold. Like, Konami Gradius style shoot 'em up side scrolling. I'm like, there's nothing about this I don't like.
I just like the name. It's like, it's perfect. It's like what comes after Gradius, Omadidigus or whatever you said. I love it.
So it's it says it's a spin-off successor to Gradius, and it has you pick from a roster of 9 anime style female pilots.
Oh God!
So I don't know about that. Calm down. And it also says it has 3-player competitive and cooperative play, either locally or through Xbox Live. Mm. So it sounds kind of cool. And there's a $30. The standard edition is $30, so budget title. And you can get a $50 special edition that has an art book, a soundtrack, and a two-sided pillowcase featuring the game's female characters.
Oh, no. Not these. Only pedophiles want these. I don't understand. This is available in America now. You're saying this isn't an import thing. This is actually
American.
Yes, this
is North American release.
Oh, my God. All right. Look, it's invading. Soon, Marcus Phoenix will be shipping with a body pillow.
You know, it'll be it'll just be his neck, yeah. Right?
Oh,
so this is going to be Xbox 360 only, unfortunately. Hmm. So,
all right. Well, let's move it on to releases. All right, guys, this week in releases, we got Infamous 2 coming out on the PlayStation 3. That's the second chapter of Sucker Punch's open-world adventure series. Did anybody ever spend a lot of time with this? Infamous 1, that is?
Nope.
Infernus.
No, it's not Infernus. My brother showed it to me, and it's like, I don't know. I've really gotten sick of open-world. It's
yeah, like this was in that slew of open world games. I think like Prototype was the other one that came out at the exact same time with the exact same premise, and I was like, no.
Even one thing I hate about like L.A. Noire, it's got open world. What do all people in open world games do when you walk by them? What? Who's that? What's going on? Like, it's the strangest thing you would like. You pass women in L.A. Noire. Hey, want to go on a date on Friday night? Who says I don't even know you? What the fuck? You are a crazy person. I wish that would happen just once in my fucking life. I'm walking down the street. Want to go on a date on Friday night? No, because you're crazy. You want to murder me. I'm clearly not that attractive. Anyway, Infamous 2 this week.
Look, Crackdown satisfied my open world. Open world needs.
Yeah, man, we've really got to work on open world. Somebody's going to get it right. We also got Red Faction Armageddon coming out on 360 and PS3. Use your explosive arsenal and powerful magnet gun. Ooh, that's their gimmick. We got a magnet gun. To fight off alien hordes in single-player campaign or online with four-player. I saw this, I think I saw them advertising during the Daily Show. They're like, what's the most forgettable generic game we can make? Done. We got it. Don't worry.
I mean, Red Faction has always had the destructible terrain, which is kind of cool.
That's true. Well, something else had that recently that was... What? Something else had that? Oh, Bad Company had cool... Bad Company 1 and 2 has had cool destructible terrain. Here, somebody else take some more releases for us.
All right. So, we also have Operation Flashpoint Red River. For Xbox 360, PS3, Red River depicts a fictional conflict with contemporary geopolitical themes, which will unfold over three distinct acts. So it means it has an Iraq level.
Yeah. What? Operation River. Not good enough. Red River. Done. Ship it.
Also, it's worth noting that this got a 6.5 on GameSpot, so stock is falling.
Yeah. That means that the game and the company that made it is dead.
Are doomed.
Thank you, game journalism.
That's an oxymoron.
We've also got a... Green Lantern, Rise of the Manhunters, that comes out for everything.
Oh, my God.
So it's an action-adventure that will be available in conjunction with the feature film Green Lantern.
I thought that has that already come... I thought this movie was been out for a while. Am I making that up? I guess not. I guess... Oh, I'm so done with superheroes.
I see this title. All I can think about is that Bonnie Tyler music video. She's on a college campus. There's mans everywhere. You remember that?
Which one is that?
Every there it is. Then I get a little bit high. Yes, that one.
That would be great. You know what? They need to make that.
That was Rise of the Manhunters.
Yeah, I don't get that video. Was she going to like fuck all those kids? Is that what's implied? Because they're all like naked and dancing around her. Yeah, man.
Look, if you get a man wearing a blouse that close to Bonnie Tyler, she's gonna fuck him. I mean,
Dude, I love Bonnie Tyler's voice because she's got that, like, oh, I've been smoking. I'm going to tell you some real shit now. You know, it's not the sweet Katy Perry or lady. It's like the fucking Doris from the fucking diner singing you a song.
You ever fuck a woman with a voice box before?
Yeah, take that, Bonnie Tyler. Pride of Nations.
Don't you talk about her. I love her. Okay.
We better take this, these last ones.
This is the original Manhunter. All right. Pride of Nations. Pride of Nations is a turn-based historical strategy game set in the colonial era of 19th century. Coming up for PC.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'll look, I'll look at the screen. It looks, okay. Oh, my God. People play this shit? Like, it's just pictures of countries and colors.
Oh, wow. God. It's just like a map.
Yeah, like, map, the game. Oh, great. All right, give us one more.
All right, we also got Mega Man Legends 3 prototype version. Now, what
well,
is this?
Well, it ain't done yet. Finish it. What prototype version? I don't know. This one even
Mega Man Legends 3 prototype version will be launched, will be a launch title for the Nintendo eShop.
Did anyone give a shit about Mega Man Legends?
I know what this is. Mega Man Legends 3 prototype is an interesting game because they opened up a lot of the development to the Mega Man fan community. So they were like, hey, we need a new female lead character, go. And they just picked like the top three character designs and then worked from there. I mean, they opened up a lot. I don't know how much beyond like the character stuff they did, but I know in a couple instances, and I think this is the game I'm thinking of, a couple instances of this game, the fan base got to design like big parts of it, or at least like concept out big parts
of it. There are a couple of characters, Roll Casket and introducing Unbreakable, Unshakable. I'm waiting. Barrett. This looks really dumb. I'm watching a little teaser trailer for it now. It looks real dumb. But yeah, it says this is the same thing you're talking about. It's like, we took your ideas and made it into a game. Yeah, I bet that works out great. I bet the internet won't make a shitty game.
You don't understand. If you tell the Mega Man community to make Mega Man characters, these guys, like, the art they got out of them, I mean, I'm sure they got a huge volume of art, and only the top, like, 10% or 5% of that was any good at all, but, like, the stuff that they picked is really good. It's, like, professional quality, you know, concepts and illustrations and all that stuff.
They probably got it all for free, too.
Oh, yeah, they got it all for free.
Well, the gameplay looks kind of like, what's that? I guess, Mega Man Legends. That's right. I forgot. Mega Man Legends is that 3D one that no one likes. But
I want to see a new I guess Mega it's gotta Man follow Battle Network.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on. I got a quick judgment for you guys.
All right.
All right, guys, on judgment this week. I got a game that some of you... Now, I saw this game when it came out, didn't really think much of it, and I've read a couple articles about it. I gave it a spin. It's called Hydrophobia. I don't think... Have I done a judgment on Hydrophobia yet? I don't think so.
I don't think you have.
Well, Hydrophobia is a... it's an Xbox Live arcade title originally, then they moved it to the PC, and it got kind of mixed reviews when it came out. Since then, though, strangely, they've added a lot of, like, gameplay updates to the Xbox version and the PC version, and supposedly it's a lot. I've read a few different articles that are like, oh, this game is not ass anymore, and it's actually pretty good. So, went and tried it out, this revised version. It's about, you're in this big boat. You're a lady in the boat. And boat, of course, what happens to boat in video games starts to sink. And
of course,
it has all these fluid dynamics kind of in the vein of Wave Race. It's the only, most games don't have fluid dynamics, but remember Wave Race on the 64 had some. Are there any other games that have had like real legitimate water physics? I don't know. Are there? Can you guys think of any?
Postal 2.
No, that's pissing. That's not the same. But it's sort of an action game you go through, and sort of the whole the trick to it is that you use the environment to kill the bad guys and get more points. So they're kind of standing in the water, you can zap them, or they'll stand by a door and you can shoot out the door, open it, and water will come in and drown them. And it's not an amazing game. It's not going to be like, oh, it's going to redefine the industry. I mean, the graphics are fairly crude. I mean, the water physics are very impressive. I mean, certainly not absolutely realistic because, you know, this consistency is somewhere between water and kind of jello, like a loose jello, you know. It's not quite on, but it's convincing enough, and it's an interesting design mechanic to shoot the stuff. And I think they decreased the price to $10 on Xbox and also on PC as well. It's a decent little game. You play. I mean, I don't think I beat it. I got about 3/4 the way through it, but you know, it's fun to play the levels where you don't. You know, you're shooting guys, then the room starts to flood, and you got to get out in time. By the time you drown, and you got to. It's there's some unique ideas in it. Not gonna set the world on fire, but if you're looking for a fun way to kill a couple hours, check out Hydrophobia on XBLA or Steam or whatever it's on. A mild thumbs up. I'm giving it a mild thumbs up. All right, time for feedback. All right, somebody else read this. It's actually instructed that someone besides me read this in it. So I'm going to paste it in here. I'll just give it here. Miller, you take this.
All right.
And it's from our good buddy, Wild Penis.
Dear Blake Buck, Lord of Gaming, do you think that DICE can beat off Activision and claim the top spot with Battlefield 3? Which game do you prefer? Keep up the great work. You've creamed in my ears for the 80th time, oh, Wild Penis. P.S. Bring back Stump or Stump Buck. Any form of stumpery would be fine.
Well, to answer the last question, didn't we stop Stump? Because we'd said every game, I think.
Yeah. We have stumped every game in existence.
Yeah, I can't imagine what we would say at this point. We've done this. And how did we say the name and you had to describe it, or did we describe it and you had to say the name? I don't even remember how it worked.
We said the name. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you said the name and you had to accurately describe it. Yeah, I don't know. I'll tell you what, you guys want it just for old time's sake, maybe think of a stump for next week.
All right.
Or just have some sort of like, bring back some old game. Like, what are you playing now?
That's true.
You know, and you know, because like, for instance, I just pulled out my, I just found for the first time in years, both my Game Boy Micro and the charger for it.
Oh, nice.
So I'm like, oh shit. Like, so now I'm carrying on my Micro again. Like, I don't care what anyone says. I fucking love the Game Boy Micro.
Dude, I do too.
Yeah, dude.
Everybody pooped on it. It was like, oh, it's too late in the development. If you like playing GBA games, nothing beats the Micro.
Yeah, like for instance, I just, you know, I found the Micro with Castlevania Aria of Sorrow in it, so I'm playing through that again. It's like, nice. What a phenomenal fucking game that was.
Game is hot.
Anyway, getting back to we'll do that next week and bring you a tape to talk about. It'll be this week's tapes, classic tapes.
Yeah. And now it's time for tapes.
And we won't tell what Blake Buck what they are. We'll have the stump component in
it. It'll still be there. I like how we're saying all this. None of us are going to remember this next week. Not only are we not going to, like I'm going to say it and you guys will have forgotten, all of us will forget this by next week. It'll like this conversation never happened.
Forget what?
To answer his other question, do you think that DICE can beat Activision and claim the top spot with Battlefield 3? Which game do you prefer? Honestly, I've always preferred in terms of like multiplayer, I've always preferred the recent Battlefields over the recent Call of Duties. Because it's weird because these franchises have gone on for 10 fucking years now. But assuming that like we're talking about Bad Company versus Modern Warfare, I mean, the multiplayer in Bad Company is really cool because I can drive tank. I can fly a car. Wait a minute. I was going to say I can fly a car. You can fly plane. I mean, to me, it's more fun because there's more options. You know, it has the destructible environments. And supposedly the new Call of Duty Modern Warfare is going to have some of that. But we'll see. It'll be interesting. The thing that's always sucked about the recent Battlefield games, though, is that their single players have been just like we talked about, filler. You know, it's like, oh, you're in this place killing these dudes. It's crazy exciting. So if I had to pick one now, I'm going for Battlefield 3. What about you guys?
I would say that if Call of Duty goes for this Call of Duty Elite with the subscription and it gets the reaction that I frankly hope it gets, where people say, go fuck yourself.
Well, now remember, Elite is supposedly totally different from Modern Warfare 3. Yeah, Modern Warfare 3. Is it?
There's going to be another Modern Warfare.
Okay.
This one will be like the hot shit.
Hmm.
So I think if that doesn't work out, I think Battlefield could very well snake some of that snake some of that market share.
All right, let's see, and I guess that's it for feedback, and I guess that's it for this week of the Best Damn Podcast Ever. What do you guys think about that?
It's a good show, Blake Buck.
If you got any feedback for us, feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com or 845-BATTLE-9 is the listener line. We got anything else? Oh, we got to thank Pseudo Sushi, Craig Reed. Dude, not giving enough love to Craig Reed. He always gets these shows edited lickety-split, so thank you to Craig Reed. TK for helping out in the forums. And from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
And I'm Justin Fick.
And we'll see you next time.